Heyo, this is the pre-heyo heyo. Just want to let you know a couple things before it starts. Part 3 of Halloween Party, the Fear Street book, will be out soon. But until then, here's 2 episodes that are 1 part each. And they are the Give Yourself Goosebumps, the Choose Your Own Adventures. And they're chosen by Kevin Gilswan and a girlfriend. And, yeah, they're enjoyable. This one, not as much as the other one, but still good. I figured I might as well not sit around in content and just put stuff out for you to enjoy. So here it goes. Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is the entire book of the Give Yourself Goosebumps Choose Your Own Adventure of Secret Agent Grandma, recorded with Kevin Gilswan of the Comics Online podcast.
Heyo.
He's going to be choosing all the answers and the choices for you people. We're going fully by him. The protocol on this is we go until there's a proper end. There's a lot of fake bullshit ends where someone just like, and then you slipped on a banana peel and died. And it's like, wait, what? So we're going to go until we get a proper one. We'll go back until before then. We already started recording this today with my buddy Fred here. And I have no idea how. The guy had 2 shots, a beer, and a cocktail, and was just fucking loud and annoying and drunk and wouldn't shut up, and it was irritating.
It was weird.
It was very weird and uncomfortable, so fuck that. So we're just going on and restarting it, because it was like one of those things where I had to like apologize for a friend, which is never a good thing, where you're like, why do I hang on the person I have to apologize for? But yeah, it was embarrassing. Oh well, that being said, I was going to start singing the chapter.
Chapter.
There's no chapter. It's
page number 1. Yeah.
Nothing is going to happen to me, you shout down to your mother. She gazes up at you from the bottom of the stairs. Her packed suitcases sit waiting by the front door. You recognize that worried look on her face, like when she found your crystal meth. Do you remember everything I told you? She asks. Her forehead wrinkles because she's old and shit. Or should I write it down? Mom, I'm not a baby. You plop onto the top of the staircase and repeat your instructions for the 5th time. I take a cab to the railroad station. I wait on the platform on the incoming side of the station. Grandma's train arrives at 1 p.m. I'll know her by her yellow stretch pants and purple shirts she'll be wearing. Then, if she hasn't been arrested by the fashion police for wearing such a wacko outfit... Don't make fun of your fucking grandmother, you great fucking scumbag. Your mother cuts in, stumbling drunk. She's unusual, but I'm sure you two will get along fine. This is what J.K. Rowling stole Harry Potter from.
Oh.
Is it a bad sign that trains were like a big part of all transportation? And they still are. And I just associate them with Harry Potter.
Pretty much.
I ride the trolley, but, you know.
Yeah.
Harry Potter took the trolley at the grocery store. England, you know? Your mother's right, your dad adds, coming through the front door. Your grandma is full of surprises. Yeah, sure. You think, how is some old lady going to surprise me? You know, I have the internets and shit. Your dad picks up the remaining suitcases and heads back out to the car. Did you just show me your nipple, Kevin?
It was an old lady joke.
Oh, Christ. Yeah. Your mother doesn't move. You flash her your most trustworthy smile. No more flashing.
Oh, sorry.
She sighs. I guess you'll be all right, she says, uncertainly. Of course I will, you assure her. What could happen? Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
We're about to find out what happens,
yeah.
Because the cover of the book shows the grandma ripping off a grandma costume, and there's an alien on there that's kind of reptilian with a tongue sticking out and 3 eyeballs. They're all on little poles.
Nice.
Like insects, or snails, more accurately.
All right.
Like Gary from SpongeBob.
Cool.
You follow your mom out to the car and wave as your parents drive by. The moment their car turns the corner, you leap into the air. Freedom! You cry and start smoking pot. 420, dog. No parents for a whole week. Just 75-year-old grandma. She'll probably spend the whole time snoozing on the sun porch. You'll practically be on your own to just load fat fucking bong loads and shit. Just get fucking blazed, yo, because that's the coolest thing kids can do. The cab arrives, and you hop in. You instruct the driver to take you where?
To Bel Air.
Exactly. No, to the train station, idiot. But as he nears the station, you have a pang of doubt. You haven't seen your grandmother since you were a little kid. You wonder if you'll recognize that broad. You may not recognize Grandma's face, you tell yourself, but you'll definitely spot her purple and yellow outfit. Besides, she'll know you from the photos your parents have sent her. You pay the driver and hop out. To meet Uncle Phil, just kidding. To meet Uncle Phil. It's not, you know, cabs are not just used. You know, people in New York use them all the time. It's not just to film the intro sequence from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I almost wish we had Carl with us to play Uncle Phil.
That's Carl Madsen of the Comics Online podcast, which is co-hosted by me, Dune, and hosted by Kevin Goswan. Hi, Kevin.
Heyo.
Hey, that's weird, you think. Why was your name announced over the loudspeaker? You rush to the information booth inside the station, wondering what could be wrong. But then again, your name is Edward Snowden, and that's a common name nowadays. You just paged me? You tell the young man in the booth, thinking he wanted to buy drugs from you. You've got a call. He hands you a phone. Hello? There's a bit of static on the line. You can barely hear, but it's definitely your mom's voice. We're... on the plane. Home immediately.
What?
Franklin, you're not joining into my sound effects. You're just yelling at the cat.
He wanted a beatbox.
What? I can't hear you, Mom. You shout into the phone. Do you want me to go home? What about Grandma? Danger. Grandmother. That's all you hear. Then the line goes dead. Turn to page 108. A chill runs through you. What was your fucking mom trying to say? Is your grandmother in trouble? Is there danger at the station? As you hand the phone back to the information clerk, the whole train starts to begin to rumble. Could this be your mother? What your mother was trying to warn you about? Should you get out of there and go home? Or are you supposed to find your grandmother?
This would be a short-ass book if we were going to leave, so...
Yep. So... if you get out of there right away, turn to page 12. If you stay to find your grandma, turn to page 33, Kevin.
Fuck page 12. 33.
Yep. I agree with you because, you know, the book is called Secret Agent Grandma, and if you just say fuck grandma, it's just going to be called Secret Agent, and that sounds like a much better book.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to drink more of this good old Ballast Point Big Eye IPA.
Oh, yeah. I've got one of those.
Mm-hmm. What else are you drinking?
I'm drinking a delicious Mai Tai made by Dune Murderous himself.
Yes, I'm a good...
He's a good cocktail maker.
Yeah, I didn't know the word for that. And bartender? You can't go home without your grandma, even if you feel as if you're in the middle of an earthquake. You clutch the information counter to keep from falling over. You smile at the clerk, hoping to mask your fear. Train coming, the clerk informs you, shouting over the noise. Every time one comes in, the old station rattles like a baby's toy. Like a rattle. Could have been R.L. Stein. It rattles like a... Hun, what rattles? Oh, a rattle? Okay, yeah, a rattle. Okay, yeah, that's what we'll use. I knew that, you fib. You hope the clerk doesn't notice how white your knuckles are. Because you spilled cocaine on them in the parking lot. The rattling stops with a loud screech of the brakes. You make your way out onto the platform just as the doors to the train open. Mobs of people push their way out the doors. You scan the crowd, searching for an old lady in yellow pants and a purple shirt. No fucking luck. Hey, what are you doing here? A voice calls. And then we turn to page 4. Turn back too far. This one doesn't have a choice. You're surprised to see your friends, Chuck and Ginny, rushing towards you. This is before Harry Potter. It's Ginny, G-I-N-N-Y.
Wow.
Is that Ginny?
That's rare. Let's say Ginny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. You meet them? I'm here to meet my grandmother. How about you? We're here. We're going to the hockey game, remember? Chuck tells you. I invited you. You remember. You couldn't go because of your grandmother's arrival. Scarlet! Our moms are letting us take the train on our own, Jiny adds. Of course, we had to promise to stay out of trouble, Jiny giggles. As if! That fucking Jiny, you know?
Mm.
You know? She's such a sourpuss. Alright, my cat is ripping up paper next to the microphone. Stop. Have fun with Grandma, Chuck teases. Chuck the fuck, that's what they call him. They board the train. You sigh jealously as you scan the thinning crowd. Still, no grandmother. Is this what your mother had been trying to tell you? That your grandmother wasn't coming at all? You're about to leave the station when you hear something that stops you in your tracks. Something terrible. Turn to page 86. No choice again, I'm sorry. You'll have a choice soon, you know? Welcome to marriage, no choices, am I right? Cookie, over here. You shudder at hearing your old nickname. You hate that name. Luckily, Jiny and Chuck aren't around to hear, Cookie. You turn toward the voice. At the end of the station, you see a woman with white hair. She's waving wildly. No way to mistake her for anyone else. Not in those clothes. You wave back, approaching her cautiously. Anyone who would call you Cookie is likely to pinch your cheeks, too. Oh, no, look out for those capillaries. As you stroll down the platform, something catches your eye. Bright red letters scrawled across one of the train windows. Bad Wolf.
Nice.
See, it doesn't say Bad Wolf, but that was a Doctor Who reference, yeah. And I thought you'd appreciate that.
I do.
A message. If your mother hadn't made the strange phone call, you wouldn't have thought twice about it. But now you have an odd feeling maybe the message is meant for you. Turn to page 100. That's a good number to remember. I can remember that one. This one has a choice. Don't worry. Let me check my phone. Oh, I got a text message. Kevin, say something funny.
Hey, you know what's funny? Not the Comics Online podcast, but you can listen to Dune on the Comics Online podcast every time we get around to it. That's something that we do.
Mm-hmm.
When Dune, sometimes Dune is texting during that as well. But we talk about comics and movies and TV and games and really everything geek pop culture, because that's what Comics Online is about. Oh, and also coming up to the Comics Online just environment, we've got Dune himself doing some interviews. So
with the Venture Brothers cast, with the cast of some other shit show on Adult Swim, and
with Karen Gillan from Doctor Who.
From Doctor Who, yes. Page 100. You gaze at the train window. You read the red letters out loud. Emple, which I'm going to point this out for you right away because people don't get it. It says, help me backwards. Emple. Yeah. You mutter, what does it mean? It's help me backwards. It doesn't sound familiar. Maybe it's not an English word. I don't like those words that aren't English. I don't like those people that don't speak English. You know, like the French, fuck them. The terrible nickname interrupts your thoughts. Cookie, I'm waiting for a big hug and kiss and possibly a reach around. Exactly what you were afraid of. Hi, Grandma. You stop several inches away from her, just beyond her reach. Wrong. Grandma throws her arms around you, squeezing you hard, so hard you can barely breathe. Finally, she releases you. Cabs are at the other end of the station. You gasp, trying to catch your breath. Cabs are at the other end of... Grandma follows behind you, chattering all the way. She asks about your school, your parents, and your mother's rose bushes. On the way out of the station, you pass the train window with the message. I've got it, you think. I know what it means. Do you really? If you know what it says, turn to page 14. If you need help to figure it out, turn to page 129.
Dude helped me, so I'm going to turn to page 14.
Yeah, you are. I'm really glad that it didn't end with you dying, because so many times in the beginning it just ends with like, and then you look at the train and for some reason get hit by another train. The end. You know what the letters spell? It's so simple. You laugh at yourself for not getting it sooner. Emple. Whoever wrote the message on the inside of the window didn't realize it would be read backwards on the other side. Emple is help me, written backwards. You say it out loud. What did you say, dear? Grandma asked. Do you need help with something? Do you need me to wipe you? I'd be happy to wipe you. I don't need you to wipe me, Grandma! You're about to tell her about the message when something you see inside the train stops you.
Ooh. Like what?
I'm assuming it's a Dementor, if I know anything about trains.
Yeah.
You stare past the letters on the window and into the compartment. Your eyes widen. You blink several times. Boop, boop, boop. That's the sound that they make when they're blinking in cartoons. You take a step closer to the window. Your nose presses against the glass, just like it pressed against the glass in the parking lot when you're snorting methamphetamine. You don't believe what you're seeing. What has you glued to the train window? Find out on page 98. Glass is a slang term for methamphetamine. That was the joke right there. Yeah. Oh, God, this one doesn't have a choice either, but it's a short one. You gaze at the startling scene through the window inside the train compartment. A woman struggles fiercely with two men. Ayo. The men wear tan overcoats and large, dark sunglasses.
Browsers.
But,
sorry.
Pardon?
Browsers.
Oh, yeah. But it's the woman who holds your attention, a white-haired woman wearing yellow stretch pants and a purple shirt. She's a dead ringer for your dead ringer of a grandma. The two thug-like men yank her under each arm and lift her out of the seat. Her terrified eyes lock onto yours as she's dragged roughly into the aisle. The men pull her towards the door at the far end of the car. Ooh, turn to page 54. Those fucking men and your granny, huh? Wait, is it your granny? You already met your granny. Let me drink and a sip of this beer. Promote something else.
You know what I like to promote is the good old folks at Ballast Point, because they took good care of us today.
Yep, got cheap brew.
That's right.
Is something wrong? A voice asks behind you. You're turning to face your grandmother standing at the platform. She and the woman on the train could be twins. What the fuck is going on? Is this woman really your grandmother, or is your real grandmother in terrible trouble on the train? Maybe it's Malfoy. Shouldn't we be getting a taxi, Cookie? You stare at her. Could you have made a mistake? All aboard, the conductor shouts, just like the Disneyland Railroad, but then again, the Disneyland Railroad's trying to emulate normal railroads, so I shouldn't have pointed it out. The train lets out an exhausted wheeze, then slowly pulls forward. You jump onto the train now to find out the woman in danger, to find out if the woman in danger is your real grandma, or could assume the woman standing in front of you is the right woman. After all, she recognized you, and you didn't get a good look at the woman on the train. It's now or never. What are you going to do if you leap aboard before the train pulls out? Turn to page 110. If you believe you found the right grandma, go to page 26.
I think we're going to have to follow the action here, Dune, and go to what page 110.
All right. In case we die, I'm going to dog-ear that page. Believe me, I've done a few of these. I'm glad my cat isn't on the action as well.
Yeah.
Like ripping up packaging from the crossbow that I bought. Oh, no, it's from the bag I bought. Sorry. You have to find out if that woman in trouble is your grandmother. Besides, you're dying to find out why those men in dark glasses were fighting with a little old lady and having such a hard time. The train starts to pull out of the station. You race down to the platform, search for a good spot to jump aboard. Your legs and arms pumped hard, your muscles strained. You're totally yoked, motherfucker, as you match the speed of the train. Cookie, come back here! What the fuck are you doing? Grandma's voice floats after you. If I'm wrong, you think, the woman on the train isn't my grandma. I'm going to be in big trouble. Why wouldn't he be in trouble if he's just trying to save a woman on a train who's being attacked?
Yeah. Weird.
That's the problem with our society, Kevin.
Yeah, you got to help people.
When someone's being mugged, you're like, I don't want to get in on this. You need to get in on this. Because they probably have a couple extra dollars in their pocket that the muggers aren't getting out of their wallet. So you should get in on that money. But you're not going to back out now. You take a deep breath and leap. Will you make it? I guess we'll find out on page 64.
But will you still need me? Never mind.
This one has a choice, don't worry. You land on the small platform between train compartments. You flail your arms as you struggle to regain your balance. Once you feel steady on your feet, you fling the door open. Everyone stares at you as you enter the car. You nervously run a hand through your hair, looking cool as shit. You try to act as if jumping between cars of a moving train is the most natural thing in the world. You have a feeling you're not very convincing. You hurry into the next car. The struggling woman was several cars ahead. You head through the swaying train, planning to pick up the woman's trail from where you'd last seen her. But maybe you're in over your head. The thugs in dark glasses look dangerous. Maybe you need help. If you think you should tell someone what you saw, turn to page 70. If you want to follow the woman's trail yourself, turn to page 80.
As a veteran of many choose-your-own-adventure type books, getting external help from people that from characters that haven't already been introduced is generally a dead end. So I'm going to say, do it yourself.
Yeah, NPCs are useless.
Yes.
All right. If you want to follow the wormless trail, turn to page 80. Let's find out, Kevin. You have a funny feeling. No one would believe you if you saw if you said you have two grandmas and one's in trouble on the train, and that you also wouldn't be believed if you said that you were able to read, because clearly you cannot, because dear God, what the fuck did I just try to say, Kevin?
Well, I think everybody has, naturally, everybody has two grandmas, unless you have only one grandma, and you're both
is very inbred.
Inbred, right.
That means that your parents are siblings.
Right.
If you have one grandma.
Correct.
Maybe.
Could happen.
Maybe.
No judgment. That
spoiler alert.
Huh?
You know? And his parents are twins.
Whoa.
But somehow he ended up half black. How does this work? We'll find out. You're not even sure if you believe. You decide to investigate on your own. You continue through the moving train. You arrive at the compartment with the message in the window. It's smeared with feces, but traces of red letters are still there. It said smeared, but I just added feces because that's funny. You aren't crazy after all. You search the seat for clues, a lost wallet, or luggage, anything to prove the woman's identity. But you find nothing. You get to the door at the far end of the car and reach the handle. A heavy hand lands on your shoulder.
Where do you think you're going?
A gruff voice demands. Uh-oh! Who has you in such a strong grip? Find out on page 89. Jeez. Too much page turning. I'm gonna get fucking thumb turn page syndrome. Don't worry, this one's short and has a choice. You wiggle out of the hand's grasp and spin around. The train conductor glares down at you. Strange, you think he's wearing dark glasses.
Mm.
But what he says isn't strange at all. Ticket, please.
Yeah.
Oops, you forgot about needing a ticket. Now what? If you if you stall while you try to figure out a way out of the situation. If you stall while you try to find a way out of the situation, turn to page 21. If you explain to the conductor the real reason you're on the train, turn to page 92. See, this is interesting because if you stall, that's not much of an option. But if you explain to him, he's wearing dark glasses. You know?
Right. So if this were like a role-playing game, I would say, hey, my grandmother's got my ticket. Maybe that's a stall.
When I used to play Dungeons and Dragons, I used to not be great at it because all the like random things you could swing for were not good. It was always things like them describing there's like gravel on the ground and be like, I use my axe and do a golf swing and hit a bunch of gravel, hoping to hit numerous characters at once. And people are like, all right, I guess roll a d20. And they're like, 18. All right, you hit all of them right in the jugular. Point is, I'm no good at this. All right, if you stall while you try to figure out a way out of the situation, turn to page 21.
Okay.
Is that what you want to do?
That's what I'm saying, that's something like a stall. If you're saying, hey, my grandmother has my ticket, I think that's something of a stall.
I understand.
Yeah.
All right, this one's not the end, so we'll see, you know?
Okay.
Ticket? You repeat. You smile up at the conductor. He doesn't smile back. You spot Chuck and Jaime entering the compartment. Great! Hi, I was looking for you. You dart past the conductor and join your friends. He wants to see my ticket, you explain, hoping they'll come up with an idea. Or some cash. If you weren't always late, you would have had your ticket, Jaime scolds. Then she winks at you. That's right, Chuck tells the conductor. My mom is picking us up at Evanstown. She'll pay when we arrive. You promised our parents... Ew, I just spit on here. You promised our parents we wouldn't get into trouble, Jiny gushes. You want to gag. You hope Jiny is incapable of gagging. But Jiny's act works. Okay, the conductor pats Jiny's head. As long as the ticket gets paid for. He strolls out of the train car. What was that about? Chuck demands. Why are you on the train? Aren't you supposed to be with your grandmother? You tell them about the strange scene you witnessed. That woman might be my real grandmother, you exclaim. You have to help me search the train. Jiny and Chuck gaze at each other. No way, Chuck begins. Well, I guess we'll find out what happens on page 59.
I got stuck where Jiny was gushing.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. I love the gushing Jinys, just personally. I'm a fan.
My band used to open for the gushing Jinys.
The real ones, not the fake ones when they just pee.
You mean the fake gushing Jinys when they got a new lead singer and stuff and it was just not the same band? Yeah.
It was a wig.
No way are we going to miss out an adventure like this, Jiny finishes for Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
Jiny finishes for Chuck. Great, you cry. You quickly explain that you were about to check out the train cars in the direction the thugs dragged your grandma or the grandma imposter. Whoever. What are we waiting for? Chuck urges. Let's go. The three of you hurry into the next car. and then the car after that, and then the motherfucking car after that, bitch. Are you sure of what you saw? Jiny asks. I mean, why would two tough guys go after somebody's grandma? Maybe it was just a
Twinky-dink?
Yep. That the two ladies were wearing the same clothes. Sorry, I'm actually dry mouth. That's what's going on.
I've got that same problem. I understand.
Chuck adds, no, I know what I saw, you insist. But inside, you wonder the same thing. You arrive at the last car. On the door is a yellow sign with a large black letters that says, no entry. You think about getting it tattooed on the small of your back in case you go to prison. You notice Jiny and Chuck exchange worried looks. Before they can change their minds about helping you, you yank open the door. The three of you pile into the car. You gasp, stunned by the shocking sight in front of you.
What's going on?
Find out on page 50.
I'm excited.
You enter the baggage compartment.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you. But luggage isn't what has the three of you frozen in place, eyes wide. Your grandmother sits on a chair surrounded by suitcases. She gazes straight ahead, unblinking. A strange orange light beams down onto her. She doesn't move. And although her eyes are open, she doesn't seem to see you. Is she, Jiny stammers. I can't tell, you reply. I think she's alive, but I know a way to find out, Chuck says. He jumps up and down and puts his fingers up his nose and howls in Grandma's ear.
That's in the book?
Yep, puts his fingers up his nose and howls in Grandma's ear. Maybe he's like, ah!
Weird.
Yeah, go figure. No. Reaction from Grandma. You swallow hard, hoping that Jiny does the same later. Wait, she is alive, Jiny murmurs, creeping closer. I can see her breathing. Then why doesn't she say something? You worry aloud. Maybe she's under some kind of spell, Jiny whispers. Maybe it's the weird light, Chuck suggests. He waves a hand into the orange beam. Pow! Chuck's body flies across the railroad car. He lands in a crumpled heap on top of a suitcase. Find out if Chuck is okay on page 77. So there's that yellow orange light. There's a light. And there's some shit goes down.
Light.
Chuck! You screech. You yell and shit. You race to his side. He's out cold. Jiny kneels beside you. Heyo, what happened to him? She cries. The orange light. It must be a force field of some kind, you answer. That's why Grandma can't move. Jiny's frightened eyes meet yours. What are we going to do now? She asks. You wish you knew what to tell her, but she can't talk with her mouth full. Whoa, what happened? Chuck murmurs. His eyes blink open. Who hit me? You and Jiny help him to his feet. It wasn't who, you explain, it was what. If it said when, it would be very confusing. Yes. You point to the orange force field. I never knew light could feel so solid. Chuck rubs his face groggily. We better keep out of sight while we decide what to do, you suggest. No telling who could come in. Chuck and Jiny nod in agreement. The three of you duck behind a large set of trunks and shit. Just in time, you hear the door slide open.
Ding.
Turn to page 74. Don't worry, I have a choice.
Okay.
You poke your head up, just like the shit's poking out of your ass. Why did I...
That's weird.
Yeah, I wish I didn't say that.
Beep.
You poke your head up and peer over the trunks. Two thugs in overcoats and sunglasses enter the baggage car. The same guys you saw fighting with your grandma. Yikes! Did you say guys? When they remove their dark sunglasses, you discover they aren't guys. Not at all. Not human guys, anyway. Their eyes. They're the size of ping pong balls and glow a creepy yellow. Maybe they have jaundice. They could be alcoholics. Like lizards, they have no eyelids. Chills of terror make your fingers and toes tingle. You slink back down behind the trunks. We're in terrible danger, you whisper to Jiny and Chuck. Chuck gulps. I guess he took over for Jiny, am I right?
Yeah.
Let's wait until they leave, then grab your grandma and get the fuck out of here, he urges. How are we supposed to grab her through the force field, Jiny demands. It almost fried you. Then maybe we should overpower those creeps, Chuck suggests. There are only two of them and three of us. Chuck and Jiny can't agree. They want you to decide. If you attack the yellow-eyed creatures, turn to page 57. If you wait until they leave so you can free Grandma from the orange beam, turn to page 87. I'd like to point out, though, that they haven't actually said the ages yet on this, but the Goosebump characters tend to be about 11 or 12 or 13.
Yeah, they're fucked. Both choices are shitty. Clearly the force field.
Well, what choice would you make?
It's hard.
Oh, both choices are shitty, yeah.
Well, you're right. Both choices are shitty. It's like, okay, so you're going to go and you're at 11 or 12 and you're going to go and attack an alien who you don't understand.
You don't know if they're aliens.
Well, we're going to assume that at this point.
You're going to assume that I'm not.
Well, I mean, the people in the book are jumping to the conclusion that it's a force field before, you know, saying, oh, it's a light, and so it's a force field. That's what
okay,
they say.
Okay, all right, all right.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. You raise a good point here.
Yeah.
So, do you want to attack them with your 11-year-old? There's three of you and two of them, but you are 11. You know, I feel like I could beat up a lot of 11-year-olds. Or, do you want to wait and see if you can free Grandma from the orange beam, but you don't know what the fuck they're going to do to her. They might draw dicks in her face.
Oh, that might be fun. All right, we're going to wait then.
Okay, that's page 87.
Fingers crossed for the dicks on the face.
Those guys aren't human, you tell Jiny and Chuck. You shudder. I don't want to try taking them on. You, Chuck, and Jiny scrunch down as low as you can behind the trunks. You try not to even breathe. Then you hear the door slide open again. Have they left, you wonder, or did someone else come in? Only one way to find out. You crawl between packing crates and boxes, searching for signs of creatures. As you slide along the floor, something hooks around your ankle. Crash! A large rectangular mirror wrapped in plastic thuds to the floor behind you. Oh, shit! Did those yellow-eyed creatures hear you? Are you about to be zapped? Turn to page 68.
Oh, shit.
You wait. Nothing happens. Phew. You let out your breath. The creatures must have left you safe. Are you okay? Chuck asks, rushing over. You sit up and untangle the packing twine that wraps around your ankle. We better move fast, Ginny warns. That crash was really loud. Somebody might come to see what it was. Yeah, Chuck agrees. He helps you lift the mirror back upright. Luckily, it didn't break. So how are we going to break through the orange force field and grab your grandma? You scratch your head. Hmm, you murmur. Then the mirror gives you an idea. Ooh. How will the mirror help you? Turn to page 71.
It's light-based, and so maybe it will reflect the
light. I'm assuming that's what's crack-a-lackin'.
Yeah.
Will you stop the recording for a second?
Sure.
Am I good?
Yep.
I took a little break, and I did a tinkle, and Conchetta's on her way back here. Page 71. Help me with this thing, you instruct Chuck and Jiny. Together, the three of you unwrap the large mirror. Then you carry it over to your frozen grandma. If we find the right angle, you explain, we should be able to deflect the beams of the force field. What are you doing in here? A voice demands behind you. Your head whips around, and you whip your head back and forth. You whip your head back and forth. They're back, the two thugs in overcoats and sunglasses. And then you turn to page 128. Quick! You shriek. Lift! I lift on the reg. That's how I look like this.
Do you even lift?
Dude, you don't even have to ask me. Look at me.
Oh, yeah.
You, Chuck, and Jiny hoist the heavy mirror over your heads. It pierces the orange beam. The rays bend and bounce off the mirror straight at the two thugs. The two creatures strand frozen in place. It's working, you cry. Grab Grandma! You lean the mirror against a large luggage rack, aiming the beam directly at the creatures. Chuck and Jiny lift Grandma out of their chairs. She's still out cold, but at least you've rescued her from the force field. Out the back, you shout. Hurry! Chuck and Jiny drag Grandma out of the back door. You follow right behind them. Oops! You forgot you were in the last car. So genius, Jiny says, as she strains to hold up Grandma. Now what? I like how they end them with now what, and then they don't give you a choice. You glance around, hoping for an idea. Your eyes land on a ladder leading to the top of the train. Up there! You grab a rung and climb. At the top, you reach down and grab and help lug Grandma up. Your muscles strain with effort, unlike Dunes would because he's fucking ripped as shit. You know? You know, I wouldn't even worry about that. I wouldn't even notice that I was carrying my grandma. I'm so fucking ripped. Chuck and Jiny shove her from below as you yank her limp arms. Finally, you're all gasping on top of the train. We don't know how long that force field will hold, you warn. We better keep moving. The three of you drag Grandma across the car tops. It's tough going. You're not sure if this was such a good idea. I'll see if anyone else is looking for us. You scurry to the side of the train. Grab my ankles. Thank you. Jiny and Chuck grasp your ankles and lower you down headfirst. You peer in the train car window and gasp. The train car is filled with people in sunglasses. Oh, no, I hope Rowdy Roddy Piper comes and saves them all, am I right, with his magic? You know, what was that movie called?
They Live.
Mm-hmm.
Marry and Reproduce, Please. Hmm? That was one of the signs that you would see if you wore the sunglasses.
One of them notices you. He points and moves closer to the window. He pulls off his sunglasses to take a better look. Yellow ping pong ball eyes. This one has a choice
it's
in the short.
It's kind of racist, though, right? Yellow ping pong ball. Really? Does it have to be yellow ping pong balls?
Yellow ping pong cuts my hair and does a fantastic job.
Alright.
Pull me up! Pull me up! You shriek. Jiny and Chuck lift you back on top of the train. They saw me. They know we're up here, you yell. They'll be after us any second. Jiny and Chuck stare at each other. Their faces are white with fear. Also, they're white. Yours is, too. You're going to have a hard time escaping with your grandmother like that. Chuck points to Grandma. She looks like a limp rag doll.
We need some,
No time to turn her into a real doll. We're going to have to find... Oh, sorry. We can't waste any time, you urge. You peek over the side of the train. And stare into a pair of yellow eyes gazing up at you. One of the creatures is leaning out of the window. Do something, fast. If you leap up from the train before it's too late, turn to page 10. If you wake Grandma so you can try to crawl away, turn to page 28.
So Hadouken is not one of the options.
Sonic Boom might... No, Sonic Boom's not.
Fuck.
You gotta either leap from the train before it's too late, or turn, or wake Grandma so you can try to crawl away.
I think leaping from the train is death, so wake Grandma. They're bullshitting.
I agree. You know, there's a lot of bad choices.
Yeah. It's like life.
Touche. This one has a choice already.
That's Fred.
God damn. Fred. We've got to wake Grandma, you tell the others. We won't be able to escape any other way. You, Jiny, and Chuck rush over to Grandma. You rub her hands and pat her face lightly. Finally, she comes round. Mama, she murmurs. What am I doing up here? She says, like that Christmas shit from South Park. You describe everything that has happened. She clucks and shakes her head. I was afraid that might come on to me. Might be on to me. Come on me. Then Grandma tells you an amazing story. She's a secret agent specializing in alien investigations. I've been tracking the evil Mithra Dithra, she explains. Obviously, she assumed my identity. That's why you saw two of us at the train station. And that's why those creatures captured me. Your head swims. This is unbelievable. Oh!
Oh!
But you know your grandma's telling you the truth. Grandma smiles at you.
You three did very well, she says. I have an assignment for you. If you dare.
If you accept the assignment, turn to page 34. If you've had enough of this bullshit with aliens and danger and shit, turn to page 46.
Obviously, we have to accept because it's Grandma, and now she's we're together. We're on a team now.
Mm-hmm.
We're the MIBs, you know, and shit.
Some people were on Team Edward. Some were on Team Jacob. I've always been on Team Grandma. You know.
Word.
You know. Become an official investigator of aliens. You bet! You exclaim. Jiny and Chuck nod enthusiastically.
Great. Grandma beams at you. I'm going after the Mithra Dithra, but I need you to stay on this train.
You try to hide your disappointment. Can't we go with you to defeat the evil alien? You ask. Grandma shakes her head.
I need you to track another set of aliens. You see, I discovered why there are so many aliens on this train. They're all heading for a big meetup a few miles up.
Chuck lets out a low whistle. Like some kind of alien con? He asks. It has to be better than the St. Louis Comic Convention. In a way, Grandma smiles.
They meet every few years on a centrally located planet. This year they're coming to Earth.
Jiny shudders. To do what? Grandma leans forward, because she's fucked up off that lean.
That's what I need you three to find out.
Page 38. You, Jiny and Chuck, arrive at the alien meeting. Grandma has given each of you a disguise. You think your two blue heads look really cool, but unfortunately, this assignment turns out to be totally boring. It really is a convention. These aliens get together to vote on galaxy parking rules, real estate taxes, and planetary trade pacts. Ugh, it's so dull. Both of your blue heads fall asleep. The five-armed orange security guard has to throw you out. Your snoring is disturbing the guest speaker. Oh, well, sometimes even aliens turn out to be dull in the end.
What?
Yeah, such is life, dude.
What? But I like Alien Con. Are you like the Klingon Filk singers? I'm into it.
Yeah?
I'm not really, but this shouldn't be the end.
It's not the end. We're going to go back. So, if you accept the assignment, turn to page 34. That was bullshit.
Weird.
If you've had enough of aliens, danger, and bullshit like that, turn to page 46.
I tell Grandma, the good guys dress in black. Remember that.
Are you kidding? You turn down the chance to have a close encounter of alien kind. You'd rather go home than spy on alien creatures from outer space? Boy, you sure aren't the kind of kid who usually reads, "Give yourself goosebumps." Maybe you should go get your baby brother's nursery rhymes. Pick this book up again when you stop being such a wimp. The end.
So there were two dead ends.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know where we're going to go back to. How long is this recording, you think? Probably an hour?
No, it is 41 minutes.
I thought we did another one. I don't even know where to go back to at this point.
I know.
I think that might be it.
Well, that was weird.
I don't... You know, they separate out, and usually there's two big changes from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
If you, like, start over from the very beginning, but wow.
Yeah.
Ain't that some old bullshit?
Crazy. Well, that's Grandma, you know, she's...
Wait. It might be my fault for thinking a book called Secret Agent Grandma would be good.
Well, it's they're never great. They're never good. Good, but you know, with Dune Reads Goosebumps, you improve them to the point where they're very entertaining.
Well, thank you. It just wasn't satisfying.
Right. We should do another.
We could possibly. We gotta wait for Conchetta to get here, and we'll see how she feels. And until then, I'm gonna give you the honor of doing the old sign out. You ready for it? Can you handle it?
Yeah. Is there a lead up? Is there a lead up? I don't remember.
Oh, there's always a lead up, but it's very nice.
Oh, it's like this, where we're just talking and talking, and then we instead just go and advise people to...
What do we advise them to do?
Stay smooth, bitches.